for your words, and I do pray and ask you to help us to understand them. Help us to rejoice in the power of Jesus Christ. And as the Bible says that he is going to, by the spoken word, take the arch enemy and cast them into hell. And Lord, we're looking forward to that day, really. And we ask you to help us to be faithful to you and that we might not be ignorant of the devices of the devil. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Ezekiel, this is the seventh chapter about the devil, the Antichrist, the son of perdition, whatever you want to call it. Seven in a row. This is the seventh final one. And the Lord is calling it a lamentation for Pharaoh. So it's like his funeral, his ending, where the devil it will be ending his ministry, I guess you could say, of deception. And that's what God's intention for him is to offer good and evil, and he makes evil appear good. And if people are not diligent or vigilant, then they will succumb to the deceptions of Satan. So Ezekiel 32, he basically is just going to run down the idea that he's taken them down. Okay, he's taken them down, and we can rejoice in that. At the end of the chapter, there's one comfort that the devil will get when he gets into hell is that the common saying is misery loves company. And he's going to rejoice and laugh and get a pleasure out of all the people that he has hoodwinked. Okay, in this chapter, we're going to notice Egypt. And Egypt throughout the Bible is a continual it's not on God's good favor. In fact, Egypt is called the house of bondage 10 times in the Bible. And over 70 times it says out of Egypt. And over 80 times it says out of the land of Egypt. But why would you want a Bible from Egypt? That's where the church is going. Okay, that's where the Spanish do not have a pure Bible. They don't. Okay, Brent's trying to figure out the best option he has. Okay, 1602, 1909, 1960 is nothing but an NIV. Okay, and the reason why is the Spanish culture rejected Jesus Christ as a group and went with Rome. Okay, and the French, the same. German, you had Martin Luther's German Bible, but they're going away from that. Okay, and the English people are now going away from the King James Bible as fast as you could say it. And they're going to Egyptian Bibles. And why would you do that? Even if you read the NIV, it says out of Egypt. Why would you want a Bible from Egypt? I mean, even if they do read their Bible, which they don't, the more Bibles are put out in a up-to-date language, just says the less they're going to be read. It does the exact opposite. It's almost like politics, where they put a good title on a bill, that means it's probably raunchy. You know, pro-choice. Well, doesn't that sound wonderful? What they mean is pro-death. That's what they mean if they were honest. So in Ezekiel 32, we have Pharaoh. It says, it came to pass in the 12th year, in the 12th month, first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, take up a lamentation. Okay, a lamenting. The little book previous to Ezekiel is called Lamentations, and it's five chapters. It's Jeremiah describing what he saw in Jerusalem when Babylon surrounded Jerusalem for 18 months. They had a siege. So he's describing it, but yet the Spirit is throwing in doctrinal information about the tribulation time period. Okay, because it says the land of Uz, and that's tribulation, even though it was Jerusalem. So he's taking a historical event, and the Spirit of God is throwing in doctrine about the second coming, and that's what Lamentations is about. And the same is going to happen here in this chapter. He says, Son of man, take up a lamentation for Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Back in chapter 9, this Pharaoh was called the Red Dragon. Okay, so back there, he's called the Red Dragon. Here, he's going to liken him to a young lion. Okay, thou art like a lion of the nations. Hence, we have the parallel in the New Testament. A roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Then we have, and thou art as a whale in the seas. Okay, so then you can take that and try to figure out the doctrine of the book of Jonah. Jonah's a very tough book. Jonah and Revelation are probably two of the most maligned books in the Bible. Okay, people scoff at Jonah and the whale. Okay, and then they laughingly, oh, whale can't swallow a man. Well, have you ever studied whales, how big they are?
No.
Well, then, stupid, they do can swallow a man. I mean, they have. There's been other people that have got swallowed by a whale, like Jonah. But then the Christians, they're going to say it's not a whale, it's a fish. Yeah, I know Jonah said it was a fish, but Jesus Christ said it was a whale. So a whale's an unusual fish. Okay, so they're going to mock that. And then they're going to not say that he died. When it says he went to hell. It says Jonah went to hell. Several years ago, I was teaching through that, and there's a fellow and his family, and they were not a graduate of Hiles Anderson, but close to it. And this was something new to him. I mean, how dare you learn something new in the Bible? You've been through Hiles Anderson. And so I was just teaching away, and I was reading him that he was getting kind of, what is this? How dare you show me something new in the Bible? I mean, he'd already told me that, man, I'm learning some things I've never saw before. But this one was one that it was the deal breaker. And so toward the end of class, he raised his hand and he's going to give me an illustration that's going to go against what he thought I was saying. So he was going to try to disprove the idea that Jonah body or his soul went to hell. He was going to try to disprove that idea. And he said, well, isn't it like the death of Jesus Christ? And he was thinking that was going to disprove what I said. And when he said it, I said, yeah, they thank you. That's a big help. Appreciate that. Yeah, Jesus Christ's body went to the sepulcher. His soul went to hell. And by chance, Jonah's body stayed in the whale and his soul went to hell. I appreciate that. And it worked the exact opposite of what he was wanting to do. And they were led of the Lord to go in the Sunday school classroom between Sunday school and church and prayed to God and walked out of church and never came back. Okay, if I was wrong, you're going to let one thing have you walk out the door? If I was wrong, okay, and if I'm right and it's something you didn't see before, I would think you'd be happy. I'm happy when I see some things in the Bible I didn't see before. You know, I realized going through 5 years of Christian college, you know, and get into work and start knocking on doors and deal with the people, I realized, I don't think I know what I'm talking about. You know, I didn't know any doctrine per se. And so you go back to the drawing board. If all else fails, read the instructions. And I got excited about that. But some folks don't. Okay, so he said, thou art as a whale in the sea. So that thing with Jonah and the whale, Jonah is it's a toughie, but that whale is symbolism of the devil. Okay, and it says, and thou camest forth with thy rivers and troublest the waters with thy feet and foulest the rivers. So he fouled up the rivers. Okay, one being. It's amazing what one being can do. In Ecclesiastes 9:18, one sinner destroyeth much good. Any school teacher can tell you when he or she's got a bad apple in class, it can disrupt the entire class. Look at one man, Adolf Hitler. is responsible of. One man, Stalin. Just one individual. Now, obviously, you got to have a bunch of people that fearfully fall in line with these folks, but it's just amazing what one person can do for evil, but the opposite is what one person can do for good also. Okay, and so this follies up the rivers. You know, a lot of times we got environmentalists in our country that gripe about America, and America's dirty, and we need to have all. Have they ever traveled to China? Have they ever traveled to Costa Rica? I mean, the little building that where they have their church, here comes the sewer, right down the stream. Stinketh. My nephew, David, Janet's son, David and Maggie, they lived here for 3 years, and they got the two little kids, and now they're back in China, and the kid says, China stinks. You know, Hillary and them bragged about China. Have they ever gone there? It is filthy. America is clean compared to these places. Now, of course, you go to the ghettos and it's filthy the way people live. Some people live worse than hogs do. You know, people say some things bad about hogs. I've seen people live worse than hogs. I mean, I raised hogs, and I put the straw in the back, so they kept that nice and neat, and then where they put the water, that's where their septic system goes to, and that goes downhill. I mean, they live clean, a lot of people do. And when a lot of people get dirty like that, you know, that's a spirit. It becomes a spirit. Okay, and a person, you know, the Lord wants, you know, there's a saying that cleanliness is the next to godliness. You know, it's kind of a half-truth, but still there is something to it. The Lord says, Paul said, let all things be done decently and in order. Okay, so there is an organization that we want to have, you know, in our lives. So in this verse 2, that Pharaoh follows up the rivers. Verse 3, thus saith the Lord God, I will therefore spread out my net over thee with a company of many people, and they shall bring thee up in my net. Then will I leave thee upon the land, I will cast thee forth upon the open field. Okay, so this is like the last smack in the face that God will do to somebody, where he does not give them a funeral. He lets the birds eat them. I will cast thee forth upon the open field, and will cause all the fowls of the heaven to remain upon thee, and I will fill the beasts of the whole earth with thee. And I will lay thy flesh upon the mountains, and fill the valleys with thy height. Okay, the height, the word height, tall. Okay, in the pre-flood days, giants. So you could take that height and you could run that back to Genesis 6, mighty men of renown, the giants. That was the famous, the celebrities of the day. Okay, 9-10 foot giants in our culture, in our world system, that would not work. The devil doesn't use that method now. Prior to the flood, animals and people were larger, were taller. Okay, that would work then, but not after the flood. So after the flood, the devil uses a little bit different methods. He uses beauty, famous, men of renown that are shifting to appear to be women, back and forth. Okay, so the devil uses these things to deceive others. Verse 6, I will also water with thy blood the land wherein thou swimmest. I'm sure the scholars have a fun time with that. Swimming in land, that don't make sense. You know, well, let the Bible define its own terms. Even to the mountains and the rivers shall be full of thee. Full of thee, kind of common saying there. And when I shall put thee out, okay, another common saying, you put them out. I will cover the heaven and make the stars thereof dark. Okay, that gives us the clue of the time period. The stars are darkened. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not give her light. Notice, The moon, biblically, is an illuminated body. You know, is it a planet? Probably not. It's a light. It's a light, and on occasion, that light, you can see a star through the light. Okay, there's been occasions like that because it's not what people think it is. Okay, this is one of five verses that I know of where it says the moon has its own light. Right off the bat in Genesis chapter 1, it talks about the greater light and the lesser light. It says it in Genesis 1, but a lot of times we'll get these preconceived ideas and we'll read through the Bible and we assume something. You know, years ago I was running down a brook to get something. You know, coming across 114, turn left down there, go straight down the brook. I'm driving down there and I'm looking down the road. Oh, it looks like a deer right there. I'm looking down. Is that a deer? That looks like a deer. And I get right up on it. It's just a huge rock was sitting right beside the road. But your eyes see it. And then you can convince yourself. There's Reader's Digest wrote an article years ago. Two men were out hunting. They were hunting for bear. And so they saw a bear in the distance. And so they had their binoculars out and everything. And they studied it, analyzed it. Both of them looked through it. Take the shot. Take the shot. And they line it up, take the shot, drop it. They come up on it. It was a man skinning a deer. You see, where you can get a preconceived idea. And when we get these ideas and we come to our Bible, we are assuming that's what it's saying. No, that verse says the moon gives forth its light. Okay, when will the moon not give its light? Matthew 24, and that will set us in the right time period. Matthew 24, right after the great tribulation. And of course, the time period, we know that at the end of the tribulation, the Lord is going to throw the Antichrist and a false prophet into the lake of fire. So Matthew 24, it blows my mind. I just cannot imagine that people actually interpret Matthew 24 was all fulfilled back in 70 AD. I don't get how they even come close to that. Matthew 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened. Okay? Just like Ezekiel 32, 7. And the moon shall not give her light. Just like Ezekiel 32. And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then you read down through that. None of that took place in 70 AD. There was no historical account of that at all. Sure, the temple was destroyed. Sure, the Jews were ravished and rifled and everything. But all this other stuff didn't take place. The Son of Man did not come back in 70 AD. So in verse 7, verse 8, all the bright lights of heaven will I make dark over thee. Okay, so there's a common idea. See the bright lights. You go to Vegas, and man, it's going to be lit up everywhere. And the lights are going to be going this way, flashing. Come in, come in, come in. When you go in, it's going to be dark in there. Where the church is kind of dark on the outside, and we turn the lights on the inside. You know, where the world has this false front, all these bright lights, all this excitement. Years ago, when I took a motorcycle trip out west, you know, just a farm kid, you know, this first year I went northwest, came down that way, came down through the redwoods, you know, and traveled down through there, the Avenue of the Giants. It was just beautiful. You know, the second year we came up to the southwest, a friend and I came through the southwest. We come through Vegas. So we're driving through Vegas, and it's nighttime. I've never seen so many old ladies with bags. I was just amazed with that. And they'd take those bags, and they'd go to those one-armed bandits, and as fast as they could do, they'd run three of them at a time. Boom, and then boom, and then boom, and then boom, fast as they can go. And they just take that bag and walk around. I'm thinking, wow, what a stinky life that is. What a raunchy life. And all the parents were inside there drinking, acting stupid, and their kids are out cruising. Kids are going to be inside there shortly. Saw a guy that fell asleep on his motorcycle. We saw him 2 weeks after the accident. He was scabs from head to foot. He said, how do you do that? Oh, yeah, you could do that. You can fall asleep on a motorcycle. But that's something. All those bright lights. This is bright lights of Hollywood. It's all a facade. It's just a facade. So the bright lights of heaven will I make dark over thee, and set darkness upon thy land, saith the Lord God. I will also vex the hearts of many people, when I shall bring thy destruction among the nations into the countries which thou hast not known. So you take down the big dog, everybody else gets afraid. He says, yea, I will make many people amazed at thee. Okay, amazed at what? Amazed at your destruction. They thought nobody could destroy him. He says, and their king shall be horribly afraid for thee. It is going to just terrorize them. When I shall brandish my sword before them. Now here in the Old Testament, when he says brandish my sword, we think the inevitable. Okay, he's going to whack. But he gives us a little more light about that in the New Testament. In Revelation 19, it's the sword of his mouth. He's just going to speak it. And the devil's going down. That's power. That's power. You see, a judge can order something and have an order in the court and all that stuff. And he can threaten somebody by contempt. It's usually a vain threat. But he can't do anything about it. He has somebody in the back with a gun who is blindly following his orders. You see? And so he's just speaking it, but what gives him boldness is he knows the guy in the back is going to do what he tells him. Well, the guy in the back needs to get a little education and discover that guy don't have the power you think he has. But they don't think like that. Where Jesus Christ will order it, and there's going to be nobody needs to enforce it. You see, the difference between authority and power is a police officer can have authority to direct traffic. You know, he puts out the hand, the 18-wheeler's got to stop. But if the 18-wheeler's brakes going out, he don't got the power to stop it. He is going to be bugs on the grill. Okay, where Jesus Christ, if Jesus Christ was standing there and he has the authority to stop, and when that 18-wheeler hits his hand, it's going to accordion. That's the power. Where Jesus Christ has all authority and power, according to 1 Corinthians 15. So, right there where it says, my sword, I wrote in there Revelation 19:13, because that's the sword of his mouth, and it's called the word of God. And it says, and they shall tremble at every moment, every man for his own life in the day of thy fall. Okay, thy fall. What fall? Okay, that's Isaiah 14. If we go back to that, Isaiah 14, 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Okay, so That's one of those verses that's like, you know, your heart or your liver or your kidney. I mean, you can cut your finger off, you know, and still keep going. I mean, they cut your heart out. I think you're done, unless you're a politician. They don't got a heart, so. But, I mean, that's one of those verses that are just priority. And that's a verse that you want to keep in mind also with the new Bibles, because all the new Bibles take Lucifer out. And they put morning star in replacement. Well, how art thou fallen from heaven? Okay, and now when he falls from heaven, verse 15, it says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. And then it says, they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake the kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness? That's just what Pharaoh did. He fouled up the rivers, destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners. Okay, and so that's what the devil does. Jesus said he comes to lie, to steal, to kill, to destroy. That's his intent. Years ago, we were up in Hammond working with the bus kids, Sunday afternoon program. You know, we'd take some of the kids to PARP. That's where I'd be Felipe's dad for a day every Sunday. And we'd go, you know, have several of them. And we caught these kids throwing a rock in a window of a school building. Two of them. One of them was a Hammond Baptist kid. One was just a heathen in the area. I'm looking at this kid, I said, what are you throwing a rock in a window for? Well, I couldn't say no. I said, can you say no now? Can you say no? Yeah. I said, say no. I said, say what? Oh, that was hard. And I said to the other kid, you threw a rock in a window. He said, yeah. I said, whoa, that's manly. That's tough. Man, you're tough. Can you make a window? If you can construct something, okay, but you can destroy it. Wow, you're intelligent. That's the average kid. To destroy something, it don't take a brain to destroy something.
I put rock in a window.
It takes a brain to fix it, to build it, to create it. And people are just so destructive, you know. Riot. Let's burn down, you know, Los Angeles, they don't like a verdict, they burn down the city. That's real intelligent. You know,
burn down my home.
Well, live in your burnt chair then. You know, but it takes a brain to create something. And the thing is, the devil just going to destroy everything. And gets a pleasure out of it. Where in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And just think, that we can travel around. There are some really pretty sights, you know, down in Costa Rica. Very pretty, and the ocean is very pretty. But if we think about that, that is God's destructive ability. The beauty that we see in the world is God destroying this world. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when he creates it? I think that's the reason why the Bible says so very little about the describing of heaven, because it's beyond our imagination of how beautiful it's going to be. It's beyond it. We can't imagine it. Okay, and so in verse 11 of chapter 32, the day of thy fall. Thus saith the Lord God, the sword of the king of Babylon shall come upon thee. So that's an immediate fulfillment. Okay, where Babylon in Ezekiel's day does conquer Egypt. Okay, where Jeremiah had some people came to him, we want to go down to Egypt and we want to know what the Lord wants us to do. He says, okay, I'll tell you later. And so he told them 10 days later, the Lord said, don't go. And they said, we're going anyway. And he said, I knew he was going to do that. And then they shanghaied him, took him with them. Okay, well, Babylon went down there and conquered Egypt, just like Ezekiel said. Verse 12, by the swords of the mighty will I cause thy multitude to fall, the terrible of the nations, all of them. They shall spoil the pomp of Egypt. The pomp. That's a great word to describe politicians. The pomp. The pomp. The pomp. The impeachment hearings. Oh, aren't they real intelligent? You know, it's just amazing. They're so puffed up like a toad full of buckshot, you know, sitting in the sun. Just amazing how these people are. And all the multitude thereof shall be destroyed. I will destroy all of the beasts thereof from beside the great waters. Neither shall the foot of man trouble them any more, nor the hooves of beasts trouble them. Then will I make their waters deep, cause their rivers to run like oil, saith the Lord God, when I shall make the land of Egypt desolate. and the country there shall, and the country shall be destitute of that wherewith it was full. When I shall smite all them that dwell therein, then shall they know that I am the Lord. He said that over and over and over and over. Now, knowing that he is the Lord is knowing this after the judgment. That's not a good time to know when he's the Lord. After you've been judged. You want to know that before. And you can prevent the judgment. And so then verse 6, this is the lamentation wherewith they shall lament her. The daughters of the nations shall lament her. They shall lament her even for Egypt and for all her multitude, saith the Lord. And what is the New Testament church doing today? They're running right back to the Egyptian Bibles, to the Egyptian music, to the Egyptian morals, to the Egyptian lack of standards. That's where they're going. Just like Israel did in the Old Testament. Nothing's new under the sun. And the amazing thing in verse 17, it came to pass also in the 12th year and the 15th day of the month that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, wail for the multitude of Egypt. If you would, try 2 Peter chapter 2. That's one thing Brent kind of lets it eat at him down there, which I know exactly how he feels. He's doing the best he can and struggling, you know, and everything. Got, you know, five adults that one morning we were there, five or six adults. And, of course, I couldn't understand anything going on, so I walked down the hill and went to the Catholic church for a little while. And they had this big, elaborate choir, you know, and everything. You go down there and you see, look at all this. You know, you go back up there and you see them struggling. Hey, that's how life is. That's how the Lord, where he had the multitudes when he was healing them, but when he ended up, what, he got down to 12 and 3, and then who stuck it with him to the cross? A few women and John. You know, and that's how it goes. And Jeremiah had a very small remnant, it says. Small remnant of Jeremiah. Jeremiah would not have been the Christian celebrity of today. He wouldn't have qualified. You know, where's all these numbers you're supposed to have, Jeremiah? Well, I don't know. I'm just going to write 57 chapters in the Bible. Sounds pretty good to me. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be even spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Go down to Joel Osteen, packing them out. You know? Go to the contemporary music, you know, packing them out. You know? And they gotta have a large population, because the turnover rate's gonna be quite extensive, because that crowd don't have a lot of character. They're going to have to come up with some new stuff. They're going to have to bring in the beer or whatever they're going to have to do. And some of them are doing that already. Bring it right into church. You know, and so because that's just how it's going to go. That's Laodicea. So in verse 18, wail for the multitude. Cast them down, even her, the daughters of famous nations, unto the nether parts of the earth. Okay, there we go. The nether parts of the earth. It says below the earth, down into a pit. Now, as you keep reading, a lot of it's going to be repeated once we get down to verse 24. He's going to repeat, he's just going to go from one nation to the next nation. And he'll repeat the idea down into the pit, uncircumcised, slain by the sword. Going to keep repeating those things. And so then he says in verse 18, Son of man, wail for the multitude of Egypt. Okay, and then at the end, down into the pit, whom dost thou pass in beauty? Go down, be thou laid unto the, or with the uncircumcised. Okay, they shall fall in the midst of them that are slain by the sword. She is delivered to the sword. Draw her and her multitudes. The strong among the mighty shall speak to him out of the midst of hell. With them that help him, they are gone down. They lie uncircumcised, slain by the sword. Okay, then you have Asher. Okay, Asher is one of the descendants of Seth. So Asher is there and all her company. Her graves are about him, all of them slain, fallen by the sword. So Asher is the apostate Jews. So, you know, a lot of the folks that know about, you know, the Jewish conspiracy, a lot of them overreact and they say all Israel's done. No, no, Israel still gets that promise, but not all of Israel is Israel, in Romans 9 says. So the apostate Israel is going to go to the pit, just like the Gentiles. And the Jewish remnant, the believing remnant, will be the inheritors of the Abrahamic promises. Okay, and then here we got the catchword, whose graves are set in the sides of the pit, and her company is round about her grave, all of them slain, fallen by the sword, which caused terror in the land of the living. Okay, that is a popular word of fear. If you keep the populace in fear, you can control them. That's the intent of that. Anywhere they can keep it up. You know, if they got to fake it, if they got to stage some events, if they got to fake some events, okay, or if they just, however, they got to keep the people all scared. Nuclear weapons, nuclear weapons, oh, the world's falling apart, climate change, oh, it's terrible, we got 10 years, oh. It's all fear, it's a fear tactic. You control people by fear. I mean, back in the 80s, they said we only had 20 years left. We done past that. Back in the 80s, it was global cooling. Now it's global warming. Can't they get that thermostat set in the right place? You know, I bought a book and it's about climate change. And this guy just blows it out of the water. Okay, but they're going to cram it down our throat no matter what. Okay, and immunizations is a next. They're going to cram that. Now, in New York, they're requiring them for the kids in school, Christian schools included. Okay, and that's, you know, Ash and them, they got to figure something out about that. And I said to Brent, what are you going to do when they're going to make it in order to stay in this country? You got to see, they in Costa Rica, they go house to house to make sure you get them. You see, and then when it came to Brent and Jen, they said, we're Americans. Our doctors have taken care of that. That works for now, but it's not going to work for a long time because they're going to keep pushing that. And one of the ladies in his church, her little kid died. How old was that little kid that died? I think it was like 2 or 3 or 4. And she just comes in. She says, doctors killed her. Why? Because they put so many shots in that little guy, that little kid. She just, doctors killed her. You see, and the thing is that is going to be crammed down people, and boy, it's going to make it tough. And so in this path, there's terror. 1 Peter 3:14, it says, be not afraid of their terror. Be not afraid of it. So 24, you got Elam. 26, you got Meshach, Tubal. Okay, different countries. 29, Edom, all of them, same thing, just repeating it over and over. 30, Zidonians. Okay, 31 is the only comfort. Pharaoh, type of the devil, shall see them. Well, them who? All the ones that he damned. And shall be comforted over all his multitude, even Pharaoh and all his army, slain by the sword, saith the Lord God. The devil is going to get a kick out of that. He says, for I have caused my terror. Now this is the terror of God. In the land of the living, And he shall be laid in the midst of the uncircumcised with them that are slain with the sword, even Pharaoh, all his multitude, saith the Lord God. So Satanists who believe that they're going to rule over hell, they are absolutely wrong, because Pharaoh himself is going to be laid in the midst of them. Okay, so that's 32. So now we're done with the devil, seven chapters. We get into something else. Chapter 33. Okay, any questions or comments? Are we covered?